The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday as we work together to know the letter better. Into the narrative of the Book of Acts we travel to understand the things the Lord requires of us and to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, it is the miracle of preaching. It is a message so stupid that only God can make it work. Check out 1 Corinthians 1:21. Through the hot air of people who are incredibly ineffective and imperfect vessels, God speaks life to death. Is that amazing? Next, it's the third hour. It's too early to start a fresh round of drinking, and it's too late to be drunk from the night before. It's a shame the world interprets God's work through mocking to their own demise. And finally, prophecy fulfilled, the Holy Spirit falling on everyone. Destruction is certain then and now. Yep, it is the end times. Devastation is inevitable, but there is safety in the Lord.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oive, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. Don't call that number, by the way. But if you're going to call, call 972-445-0770. That's the number to call, 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone, and that'll be terrific. Here's the key. It can be for praise reports, prayer requests. It can be for sharing something the Lord's doing. It could be answer to Bible trivia. It could be some general questions. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as we're strengthening, encouraging, empowering one another, all as the day gets closer and closer, and it is getting closer. Here's the thing to remember. Any topic's open for conversation. Why is that? Because it's not professional radio. I mean, we've done 550 or some odd shows. It is not professional radio. Not. But it is radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Here's our first trivia question. Our first trivia question. Who was? Now, here's my advice. Keep it simple when you hear this. Who was the first person mentioned in the Bible as being put in prison? Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't vet this answer because I thought it was just right. But boy, if it's wrong, I'll need somebody to tell me. Who was the first person mentioned in the Bible as being put in prison? Don't make it more complex. Don't overthink it. That first person that came to your mind, probably the right answer. You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. In the meantime, don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. All right, so here we go. So who was the first person put in prison mentioned in the Bible? If you think you know the answer, good answers coming in from all over the place. You can call in, you can text in, you can email in. We are getting ready, though. Getting ready. I'm just trying to prepare you for Expository Thursday.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
What is the spiritual significance of that? Nothing. Okay, just in case you're wondering. Zero. All right, we are at verse 14 in Acts chapter 2. This is a very important segue, and I've got a lot to cover, and I'm going to do my best to cover as much as I can. I don't want to overload, but I don't want you to miss some of the cool things that are in the text. Verse 14 says, but Peter, remember, they had just all been like, oh, what is all these things that we're hearing? Oh, we're all hearing these wonderful works of God in our own language. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Now I'm going to stop there. We got somebody calling in. I think they're going to try and do the trivia question. We'll do that, and then we'll come back to the text. Is that right? There we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. Good to hear your voice.
You too.
All right. I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing great, man. I'm just halfway through this class, and then I got two more classes, and then I'm working on my final project. It's like, praise God.
That's all I can say. Hurry. Be over.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what my wife said. She goes, you're too close to quit. Just keep going. I was like, yes, ma'am.
Keep going.
All right. So who was the first person mentioned in the Bible as being put into prison?
Well, I'm thinking of Joseph, but
that is correct. No, that is it.
You said this is a trick question. I would have gone over thought about it again, but you said it's really simple. Don't put too much thought into it.
That's right.
Okay.
Because people will sit there and they'll think, well, I think it's Joseph. And then they start going backwards from Genesis 39, going 38, 37, 36, 35, nope, 34, 33, all the way down. It's like, no, it's just Joseph. He was the guy.
Right. Yeah.
Excellent job. Very, very good. How you been, by the way? You doing good?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
My granddaughter needs prayer, though. But
what's her name?
Her name's Nola. It's like New Orleans, Louisiana. Nola.
Nola? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Is she okay, or is it physical, or what's going on?
Well, she'll be 6 in August, and she just was diagnosed with leukemia. So it's been kind of a concern with my son and his family, you know. So, and they're in Tampa, but anyway, she's having chemo today, and I think this is the third treatment. So
let's pray for her.
Came out of the blue. So.
Can we pray for her? Would that be all right?
Yes.
All right.
Please.
Let's do it, Father. Okay. We come before you right now. We pray for Noah in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, 6 years old, facing a very, very tough scenario, but nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is too hard for you. And what we're praying for is that out of this process, you would bring genuine gold faith that comes through, that just emerges into this trust and confidence for your faithfulness. We lift up this granddaughter to you. How hard that is, how I know that as a grandpa, and I just pray you'd not just give John a lot of comfort, but the family and the girl as well, and there would be peace that would pass all understanding because you are that gracious to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, David.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You keep me posted on that, even if you send me emails on the side or whatever. Just let me know, so we'll just keep praying, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Javen.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Okay. You got to keep that people in prayer, right? So now you got more people to pray. Boy, your list, everybody out there, your list is getting bigger. That's what happens. That's kind of what happens. You read through Paul's epistles, you find out he's praying for everybody all the time. It's like, yeah, he spends a lot of time doing that. All right, I want to point out this one thing. We'll kind of 86 or pull it back a little on how deep I'm going to go. I'll go deeper in the next segment. But listen to what happens. Peter, standing up with the 11, raises his voice and says to them, and I want you to catch something that a lot of people will miss right in this moment. It says, Peter, standing up with the 11. Why does it say Peter standing up with the 11? Because Matthias was just named the replacement apostle, and standing up with the 11 is the scripture's way of giving authenticity or acknowledgement to Matthias. So Peter standing up with the 11, and it's like, well, there's an old, it's an Aramaic translation that says standing up with 10. That's fine. It's wrong.
It's not hard. There's 19,000 documents. It's, you know, standing up with the 11th. Not real hard. And that is to give acknowledgement to Matthias. He's a part of this process. Every time you read about the 12 from this moment forward, it's that guy's included. He's a part of that. He's the adopted apostle, no matter how you want to say it. That's how it is. And the other thing that's really amazing about this, besides him bringing validity to Matthias by standing up at the 11, that's what the scripture does, by the way, is the miracle of preaching. Because keep in mind, let me say this in the nicest way. The philosophers of that time spoke with such great oration abilities, it was amazing. And then there's Peter, he's a fisherman. He's like going, okay, dudes, here's how it goes. It's like, it's amazing because it's this guy who's a fisherman who never took a class in speaking, and now he's giving the first address for the church. And that's, you think, yeah, that's just like God, isn't it? He takes somebody who's a fisherman who had a several kind of eeny, meeny, miny, mo moments, maybe more Three Stooges moments than anything else, and he uses the fisherman to give the first big declaration. By the way, keep in mind what happened. Peter denied Jesus. Jesus restored Peter after the resurrection, and now we see that restoration in action. He's the one that gives the first big proclamation. What an honor, by the way. But he's just a fisherman because God uses everything and anything and everybody and anybody he wants. That's what's cool about God. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am. Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy, 972-445-1700, or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon and that the gates of hell have never nor will ever prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. And again, I just want to point out, I don't have anything to do with those recordings. There, it's the Apostle Peter interview, and we're talking about Peter in the book of Acts. I just love stuff like that. I know nobody else, but I think it's just totally awesome, cool stuff. Okay, let's do our trivia, our next trivia question. This should not be that difficult. This is out of Genesis, but it should be pretty straightforward. What are the names of the two women who fought over who would eat mandrakes? You probably never even heard the word mandrakes, except for in this context. What are the names of the two women who fought one another or fought over who would eat the mandrakes? What are their names? If you think you know the answer, you can text in. The 214-210-8483. You can call in 972-445-0770. Unfortunately for most of you, and not unfortunately for me, I have some new jokes. And we're only going to do four of them. And one of them is only funny if you're a musician. Okay. Does that make sense? In other words, are you a musician? Do you play an instrument?
I do. Yeah. Okay. I play the clarinet.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You do play the clarinet. That's right. All right. So this will make sense, but you got to think of like guitar. Help you? But when we get to it. All right. First of all, this is a little bit of a follow up on that. What I think we did this. What is the dentist's favorite hymn? Didn't we do this one? Crown him with many crowns. We did that one. Okay. Who's the arch enemy of the Jesus chord? G, like G on a guitar. Who's the arch enemy, right? And the answer, this is really just a drag, but the D min chord. Because it's like, okay. All right, this is a good one then. I have so many to choose from. What is a salesman's favorite scriptural passage? What portion? The Great Commission. See, salesman, Great Commission. All right, two more. Why did the hawk sit on the church's steeple? Because it was a bird of prey, but instead of prey, it's P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y. See, that's okay. Okay. You know what? I'm going to agree with you on that one. Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Samson, because he brought the house down, okay? And then here's the last one. And don't get all weird on me because these are jokes. What is the patron saint of poverty? This is so funny. Saint Nicholas. Nickel, no Nicholas. Come on. Okay, I think that's funny. Who are the two women, who fought over who would eat mandrakes? If you think you know the answer, you just let us know by calling in. What's our number? 972-445-0770 or text in 214-210-8483. All right, now here's the thing I want you to catch. This is where it gets really deep. So we covered that. Here's where it gets really cool. So we recognize and remember, if you remember, the entire book of Acts is outlined in chapter 1, verse 8. You'll preach the gospel unto Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In chapter 2, verse 14, all the way to the end of chapter 5, this is the preaching that takes place in Jerusalem. So when Peter gets up to preach in Jerusalem, this chapter 2, verse 14, all the way to 5:24, this is that outline section. So you're now entering into the preaching of the gospel in Jerusalem, and it's outlined. It goes this way all the way until Acts chapter. Okay, we got somebody calling in until Acts chapter 5, verse 24. So that's something to recognize. This is part of the outline that was already defined in Scripture about what we're going to encounter. And now we're going to get into that right after we have somebody. I think they're going to answer the trivia question. But then right after they do that, we're going to get into what was going on. Why was Peter speaking? Why was he addressing the crowd? And what is the theology that he used behind it, which is fascinating. Ready? Here we got somebody answering the trivia. Here we go. Yes, there we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
pretty good.
Okay.
Fairly well.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, everybody's going to be keeps praying for you, so you just remember that. They'll keep you in prayer on a regular basis. I need a trivia answer. What are the names of the two women who fought over who would eat mandrakes?
It was Leah and Rachel.
That is correct! You are right! Excellent job, Mary. That's really good. Good work.
Okay,
I really appreciate that.
I appreciate you praying for me. I am going to the doctor on Monday.
Well, we as an audience...
If we can pray that that our visit will be prosperous.
Yes.
I guess, or that, anyway, that we'll have a good visit and good will come out of it, okay?
Okay. God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Mary coming in with the answer. Good job there. All right, so here we are. So this is the outline. Peter standing up the 11, giving validity to Matthias, raised his voice, said to them, "Men of Judah and dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." Isn't that a preacher, right? I read one note. It said this: the preacher's first task is to correct the misapprehension by his audience. That's exactly what Peter did. This is what he said, verse 15. "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." So what is the third hour of the day? 9 a.m. Okay? Yeah, people are like, well, it's around 9. It's 9. Okay? The first hour of the day is 6. So the third hour of the day would be 9. Right? The sixth hour of the day would be 12. You see how that would work? The ninth hour of the day would be 3 p.m. Got it. 12th hour of the day would be 6. Got it. Okay. Here's the deal. The defense that Peter raised is that these guys would not be drinking because they haven't even broken for breakfast yet. They're not even done in that process. It's nobody's drinking this early in the morning, and nobody could drink that much that fast and come up with that kind of stuff is his defense. Let me explain a couple things real quickly. What Peter does that is the most amazing miracle of this is in explaining this miracle, another miracle happens. Peter goes through, and in verses 16, 17, 18, and 19, and 20, he quotes Joel, Psalm 16, Psalm 110, Psalm 132, with an allusion to 2 Samuel 7. The question is, where did Peter get all of that knowledge and information? If you're kind of a sticky in the mud kind of Christian, you're thinking, well, he read the whole Old Testament. Doesn't say that anywhere. There's just nothing in anything that says that. But it does say that the Holy Spirit empowered them, not just to speak in other languages, but right here, he was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what's he making reference to? Psalms, Joel, 2 Samuel. He's just nailing it. And what the miracle is that a lot of people miss is that when the Holy Spirit works on you, the Holy Spirit's working in you for the character of Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes on you for ministry, anything can happen. That's why those that are born again, it's like, well, they don't know what they're going to do. It's like the wind blowing. And here's a guy that's a fisherman, that's uneducated, that has put together one of the greatest sermons ever defining Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And people just go, oh, he was just talking. He was just talking. The guy is quoting the Psalms. He quotes Psalm 16, 8 through 11, Psalm 110. And then he's quoting Joel, chapter 2, 28 through 32. It's like, it's amazing. It's a miracle. They quote Psalm 132. And it's like, how did that happen? That's part of the miracle. This whole thing that you read, this isn't standard stuff. You're talking about Peter. He's kind of a rambunctious-y guy. He's not an elite. He's not educational, but he puts together a sermon that few pastors and preachers have ever put together and does a fantastic job. And then he alludes it and tells me this is from what Joel was talking about. This is prophecy fulfilled. This was spoken of, and this is the fulfillment of it. And I'm going to tell you now, when we talk about the next segment, you're going to find it challenging, but it's important for us to understand this is all the work of the Holy Spirit as the gospel is being preached in Jerusalem, as Peter is being used as an instrument like never before.
And in this capacity, the Lord is building his church. Let me tell you how important this process is. Without this, let's just say it in the nicest way, you wouldn't be saved. This is the launching pad from Jesus being the cornerstone to the apostles and prophets laying the foundation. This is the foundation that's being laid by them. That Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that this is the fulfillment of prophecy, and that these things are to be looked at with that kind of mindset. Look at God go. And then you have to sit there and think, well, is God active in my life? Of course he is. Do you notice that? Not always. Not all. You don't always notice it. I don't always notice it. And even the Lord's doing it. And so Peter gets up, makes a defense. Look, they're not drunk. It's too early for that. This is. And then he goes, boom, 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 boom. Teaching them what the scriptures say and all showing how they point to Jesus. And doesn't take, it's not a rocket science. To figure out this is the last guy you would expect to be doing this out of that group, out of the 120. And there he is, the fisherman, the rambunctious one, preaching the best sermon ever on Jesus as the Messiah. I just want you to catch the miracle power. And now I'm going to give you the tease, because Peter brings up, this is in fulfillment of something that happens in the last days. Well, how can that be, Dave? Because that's 2,000 years ago. Stand by. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with him. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kaum," "Talitha kaum," and that means, "Little girl, I say unto you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, "She's dead, she's dead, she's dead." And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples with him. What did he do? He cleared the air.
Yeah.
If Jesus. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here we go for our next trivia question. This is a classic. The answer of the, for this is in Leviticus 12. I have to tell you that because it's a little tougher on this one. The Bible says the male babies should be circumcised when they are how old? How old do the male babies, how old were they supposed to be when they were circumcised? Your answer is in Leviticus chapter 12. Better make sure I got that right. Yep, I got that right. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. If you guess, you want to, you can guess. There's nothing wrong with guessing. People calling in already. You can text in 214-210-8483 if you want to text, but you better hurry up because I think somebody's already calling in. It's pretty fast. And then we'll get to that, then we'll get to history, and then we're going to talk about this. Oh, this thing that I'm going to talk to you about the last times is really, if you can, if you catch it, or if, let's rephrase it, if I can say it right and you can catch it right, it just, it's like it makes so much sense that it kind of puts you in this place of going, aha. Only you got to do it with a Yiddish accent. Aha. Okay. Are we ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you?
I'm still doing good and still finding the good fight of faith and trying to look forward to that new body.
Yeah. Well, we're praying for you. Everybody's praying for you in the audience, and you just got to know that there's many, many people praying for you and have confidence that God responds, and that your restoration is in process.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate everybody. Thank you. Lord bless all of you for your prayers of intercession. Thank you.
You got it. All right. Bible says male babies should be circumcised when they're how old?
Is it 8?
That is correct. It is 8 days. Good job. Good job. There's a little bit of theology that says this is connected because 8 could be the number of new beginnings and so on and so forth. Probably more physical than it is spiritual. But regardless, it's 8 days according to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3. Excellent job. That's a tough one. So that's really good. I'd have to double check on that even myself. Go, I think it's 8, you know.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of studying going on, a lot of stuff going in that brain of yours. So,
yeah, I know. That's
why. On the truth, that's all I can say. Truth is everything.
You're
doing a good job with that.
I appreciate that, you know, but you know that's why I sneak out and get a brownie every once in a while. It's like that's what I need. That's my medication.
That's right. Your dedication and the truth will cut across the spirits and make them to turn and hate. Instead of love and say, well, you're right, I'm wrong. No, hard to do that in this old world, but you got to do that.
Bless you, brother.
All right, well, thank you.
Bless you. I love you in the Lord, man. Okay. God bless.
I love you too. Look forward to meeting you one day.
You got it.
Thank you. All right, man.
Bye-bye. You know, we used to have a saying where you'd talk to somebody either on radio or sort of, we'd always say, here, there, or in the air. That's when we'll see each other. Here, there, or in the air. Here on earth, there in heaven, or in the air while we're being raptured. See? That's here, there, or in the air. All right, we got history, and then we're going to get into this stuff. There's so many jokes I can do on this circumcision. I'm just going to pass on it. I'm just going to... You know, I'm not even going down the half-off thing. You know, just skipping that altogether. History. Let's do history.
Let's go live.
All right, it is World Bicycle Day. I used to like to bike a lot, but when we were in California, the roads were not really like, it was like uppy-downy, so it was always really hard, but National Bicycle Day, that's good. It is National Egg Day. Okay, that's good. I mean, I like eggs. You like scrambled eggs or do you like the over?
Yeah, like fried, scrambled, sunny side.
Okay, over easy, over medium, or over hard? Which one?
Over medium.
Okay, you're just like me. National Chocolate Macaroons Day. That's okay. I like anything chocolate in the world. I'm for it. It doesn't matter. It's Repeat Day. I said it's Repeat Day.
One more time.
One more time. Say it again.
What was it again?
I didn't hear you. Say it again? Repeat it. I don't, who comes up with this? Somebody makes this. I just think they write it and then they put it on some kind of website and somehow it gets validity or something. It's Love Conquers All Day. For those that don't know, that's actually out of Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love. That's where that comes from. Love conquers all. And then the last thing, I went through all these other history things. I didn't find any of these very interesting except for 1965, the first American to walk in space, Edward White, goes for a walk outside Gemini 4. He walked for about 23 minutes. And then in 1969 on this day, the television series, the original Star Trek, aired its final episode. Okay? All right. Okay? All right. I see people are telling me jokes and texts. You guys are killing me. All right, let's do this. I got to go into this. We've already done that. Oh, website. We should probably do the website real quick. Website because, hey, if you want to give, that's a good place to do so. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, HeMustIncrease Ministry. All right, so I'm actually praying right now while I'm talking to you in my heart, asking God to help me to communicate this to you. So Acts chapter 2, verse 16 says this, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So I want to stop right there, and let's give the acknowledgement and the props that God pouring out his spirit falls on all the people that are true followers of him, regardless of sex, age, rank. None of that stuff matters. God's like, I'm pouring out my spirit for those that accept God, for those that acknowledge the testimony of Jesus Christ, for those that surrender to Jesus Christ. The outpouring of the spirit is yours in promise, period. Okay, there's no distinction there. There might be people that have been chosen to do something more specific, but everybody gets that outpouring. Everybody's involved. That's not the coolest part, even though that's amazing, and it would be really nice if somebody would write a history about that, saying that the church in its early beginnings understood, hey, we're in this together. Let's get this done right for all the believers, okay? This is what is amazing, and I'm actually going to have to quote a scholar because some of you are going to go, huh? But when Peter said this, he said this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, and Joel's prophecy says it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, how could it be the last days then and be the last days now? And that is, I think that's a genuinely fair question. And I'm going to answer that after I read what this scholar says. Then I'm going to give you my David answer, which I think makes more sense to me because I'm David, and that makes more sense to me. But to understand what the last days is, I'm using this as probably some of the best scholarly material that's available. This is referenced out of my logo software, just so you can know. The last days refer to the era of the church from Pentecost to the return of Christ. And then for verification, Hebrews 1, 1 through 2. They are the overlap of this age and the age to come. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Peter explains the unusual events of Pentecost in terms of the outpouring of the Spirit predicted in Joel's messianic word. The outpouring of the Spirit in the Old Testament had been largely reserved for spiritual and national leaders. Under the new covenant, the authority of the Spirit is for all flesh who come under the new covenant. It's just fabulous. It's just a great, great text. But now I'm going to try and help you understand, how could it be the last day then and be the last day now? Ready? Okay. All right. And don't take this literal. This is a illustration. Okay? All right. How many days in the week? 7 days in the week. Okay. On Monday, or let's say your week starts on, well, let's say it starts on Monday, because for most of us, it kind of seems like it's supposed to start on Sunday, but let's just say for the sake of argument, starts on Monday, because that's when the work takes place. Somebody calls you up and says, hey, I need you to come fix my fence. That's what you do. You're a fence fixer. You know what you say to them? You know what? I'll get you later in the week. Okay? When is later in the week? Later in the week could be
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's almost like a term that explains itself as in later on. Or you got to go to the doctor. I'll do that later this month. What day is that? The last day of the month? No, it's just later in the month. And so if you can look at the understand scripture from this point of view, okay, so let's say there are 7,000 years for humanity, and the Lord says it's the last days. Well, that would be anywhere from year 4, 5, 6, or 7,000. Would be all towards the end. So when it talks about the last days, the way that it goes about it, the way that it's understood is it's towards the end. So if the earth went around and it was 3,500 years or 4,000 years old, this is where the creationists could win an argument. The last 2,000 years, the next 2,500 years, these are the last of them. We're in the last part of it. We're in the last part of the 7,000 years, so to speak. And the idea behind that is to understand that it's at that moment, it's absolutely at the moment that Jesus ascended and the church was built and goes until he returns. That's the end of the age. So the last times in Scripture is between the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ and the return of Jesus Christ. And Peter identifies that in the verse 21 when he talks about whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, that it's all based on salvation for the consummation of this. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the moon and the sun and being turned to darkness and the moon into blood. But this is the last days simply by virtue of this is the latter part of all of existence on the earthly plane. So that's why we're in the last days. If I failed to teach that correctly, I apologize. If you need more clarification, let me know. I'll do my best to help on a follow-up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. Bad news does not necessitate that there is nowhere else to go except to weep. In Psalm 112, verse 7, the scripture says, "He will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord." It's not pie in the sky to look at the situation and go, "Gosh, it's terrible, but I'm going to hold hope because hope is the only thing I have to move past it. If it never comes about, that's fine, but I'm going to live every day believing that there's a better tomorrow." when people think of that, they think, "Oh, Christianity, it's a crutch. It's the opiate of the people," is what Karl Marx said. It takes more guts, more strength, more determination in this day and age to be a Christian and to stand in your faith than it does to be any other thing that there is, because it's the Christians who are under persecution, and it's the people of faith that are getting slaughtered, and oh, by the way, throughout the world that's taking place. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I got a final trivia question. It is very difficult. I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up. How old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? The answer is in Genesis 25. Okay, there you go. So I'm giving you where it is, give you the opportunity. How old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? And the answer is in Genesis 25. You got to look in the chapter, though, to know that, unless you know that off the top of your head, which would be very, very impressive. 972-445-0770 is the phone number to call, or you can text in 214-210-8483. In lieu of how deep that last little section was, I wanted to do a little bit of clarification, make sure that I always feel like I got to do a better job explaining, so that's just kind of what I do. I want to do that before we do anything else. So if you can answer the trivia question, great. If not, we'll answer it at the end. But what I wanted you to hear, or want you to catch, is there's a group that's called literal creationists. We all believe that God created the earth. That's not the discussion. And then there's many people who believe that the earth was created in literal 24-hour periods, and I probably lean much more that way than the other way, but I also recognize that the sun and the moon weren't there, so there were no 24-hour periods. That's a whole separate issue. I'm trying to kind of not get into that. What I am trying to get into is that there's a belief in this system that there are 7,000 years for humanity to connect to the 7 days of creation, and therefore the day 5, 6, and 7, or year 5,000, 6,000, and 7,000, that would all be later. That's why it's called the later days. So the latter days are the latter days. It's all based on it's later on in the sequence of all the days of mankind. And that's how you get to the later days, is then 2,000 years ago and now. And if that is accurate, by the way, then you can guarantee there won't be more than another 1,000 years. I'm just saying. There's so much I could go into this. It's just like crazy stuff, right? Right. All right. Good quote by one of our faithful listeners about day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. It's really important to understand that. So there's that understanding, and this isn't an issue of fellowship. I just want you to understand the later days, the last days, started at the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, essentially, is where it started. And then that will continue until the return of Christ, period. How that breaks down in that schematic is not known as well as people kind of try and say it is. But there's nothing wrong with taking a particular point and going that way. I support that. I support people that study it. Okay, so that's that. Now I want to go on to the next part of it and make sure that nobody misses what's being said, because this is where there gets to be a lot of confusion. And you're going to hear two points of view, because that's for you to decide. You have to figure that out. Verse 17, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood." The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And people wonder why people talk about the blood moon. "The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So what's important is to see that the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon will be turned into blood. So there's many people that think when the moon turns into blood, and we've had blood moons in our history, that's going to be an indication or a seasonal connection to when the Lord returns. The argument is that in reference to the destruction of the temple, or is that in argument or in reference to the end of everything? In other words, is that the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, or is that like total future stuff? And here's the answer that is absolutely theologically correct. It's probably both. And you think, well, how can that be? Because in 70 AD, it was a disaster, and the temple was wiped, and people were massacred, and it was horrid. And there was no time that Israel went through since that time. But at the end of all times, that will also be like that. And so the idea behind it is to understand what it's talking about is complete and absolute devastation. Even if it was a reference to the temple and what took place in the first century and the great persecution of the church, it also is a reference to what's going to happen. Once the Lord has spoken, twice have I heard. That's what the Psalms say. And so God speaks, and there's this greater capacity for people to hear, and it echoes the way that God does it. And so the idea behind that is, well, you know, how does that apply if it was the temple in Jerusalem to me right now? Probably doesn't, other than it was has a fulfillment. But it does apply to you for the end of the world. And what is it that you got to know about the end of the world? What do you got to know if the blood moon appears, if the sun gets darkened, and we're not talking about an eclipse. We're talking about darkness in the sun. You know, some people say, oh, it's the ashes from this. It's like, I don't know. It says the dark sun's going to be darkened. You can't see it. That's a lot of ashes here. And then the sun's going to turn, the moon's going to turn blood red. Okay, what do we know? That God keeps his kids safe no matter what the situation. If the Lord decides to yank all the believers out beforehand, whew, I'm happy because I want to go. If he does it afterwards and the crucifying process gives me a better resurrection, I'm happy. Better resurrection, that's a good thing. Here's my premise in this. There is danger in the Christian faith, and it's told to us at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. There's many people that think, well, the church is going to prevail. And it's like, it is going to prevail till the time that the Lord stops or brings it up or raptures it. But it's not going to prevail in the sense that it's going to rule like Rome. It's going to rule in the spiritual realms. It's going to rule in the realms of the kingdom of God. It's going to rule in the affairs of men where the kingdom of God is advanced. And how did Jesus define that advancement? The poor will have the gospel preached to them. The lame will walk. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. That's what it's talking about. It's that advancement. It's that kingdom. It's that process. Not you and I all get a super huge, cool-looking house and cool cars, and we're in charge of everything, and all the sinners just have to listen to whatever we say. That ain't in there. That's not there. Okay? That's pie in the sky. The reality check is that through many tribulations, one must go through many of those trials to get to the kingdom of God. It's just a reality. You're going to be made to look like Jesus one way or another. And this is where a lot of people turn away from Jesus. What do you mean I got to eat your body, drink your blood? I'm not doing that. What are you talking about? I'm not going to go all the – you got to do what the Lord puts before you, even if you think, wow, that could be me sacrificing. You mean like picking up your cross daily, dying to yourself and living to the glory of God, seeking first the kingdom of God and making sure he's the priority even above your checkbook? Yes. Just think of it. It's like, wow. And Peter's like, he lays it out. Look, this is stuff's going to happen. This is going to take place. And again, it probably had a sense of double fulfillment, I would guess. But, you know, I can't say for sure. Here's what I know for sure. In this evangelism process, God is showing power. He's demonstrating his
power through Peter, miraculously giving this incredible message that you could spend a lifetime dissecting, and he's doing it with power. And I got news for you. This is one of the worst parts about when Christians share is everybody's. It's not that you have to shout it, but you don't have to be embarrassed by the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, then also to the Gentile. It's powerful. It's miraculous. It's God. And his power is demonstrated through the words. And he can anoint your words as much as he anointed Peter's words. Well, you understand, he's Peter, he's special. I don't know, did you deny Jesus 3 times? Okay, well then you might be qualified. You see what I'm saying? It's like, this is what the church needs to understand. This is a power gospel. There is kingdom life in this. Instead of this being he's not done, man. He's going to go through and he's going to talk about Jesus, talk about miracles, go through this whole process. Like, that's awesome stuff. But you need to see where this comes to a close right in this moment. He's like going, look how Jesus did these things. Look at, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. Look at what's taking place. The Holy Spirit's being poured out. This is what we've all been waiting for. And the people that responded to Peter's message, all became followers of Christ with eternal life. That is the power of God. Some guy gets up completely flawed, shares whatever comes out of his mouth from the power of God, and people get saved. That's a miracle. That's a miracle of evangelism. Get that? All right. Trivia question. I could go on and do this for hours, but I don't have time. Trivia question. How old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? 40. He was 40 years old. Genesis 25:20. Even greater is how long it took to have kids. If you study that, you'll be like going, it took that long? Like, yep, it sure did. All right, we're going to stop here. We'll do a lot of recapping next week. It's just a lot of fun, a lot of expository teaching stuff. Love you guys. Love doing this. Love that you're praying for me and I'm praying for you. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone and everything
he finds. He's the hungry giant. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.